Well, let me extend a warm welcome again to all those in Chanhassen, those watching online, bringing in our Bush Lake and West Tonka campuses too. And we've got a truly special Sunday in store as we have our guest. Really, you're a family member. This is Dr. Sammy Wagnoni. Sammy and his family have been a part of our church 20 plus years.
Yep.
You're going to share a little bit more about them. Yeah, I think that deserves a round of applause. Faithfulness in God's church here at Westwood.
Yeah.
And you lead this wonderful kind of intro that we saw about Merge Twin Cities.
Yeah.
And I just want to give this to our church community. As Westwood, we're all in, Dr. Sammy.
Amen.
We've given financially to this amazing work. Today, there's going to be opportunity for many of you to consider even volunteering for what's going to happen downtown Minneapolis and in St. Paul, too, on June 6th and 7th. And can I just encourage you, you be you.
Okay.
You've got the Spirit of the Lord that's upon you. You are going to preach a message that I know is going to impact our church as a part of this chosen series. And so here and all of our campuses, can we say and give a warm welcome to Dr. Sammy Wagnoni.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Clint, for that beautiful, wonderful invitation. As you mentioned, my family and I, we've been a part of this church now for, I mean, personally, I've been here for 21 years. I came here as a single young man and, you know, kind of being mentored by Joel because I was his student at Bethel Seminary. And then eventually he prayed me into getting married. So I have a beautiful family. I think I have a picture somewhere there. My wife, Suzanne, and our kids, Junior, the oldest, Shiloh, 13, and then Josiah, he's 10. We always like to sit over there, you know, whenever we are in the house. And it's such a joy and a blessing to be a part of Westwood. We rejoice in that. Amen. So I just want to invite you in here in terms of what God is doing. I'm going to take you a little bit on a journey of the big vision and the big picture of what God is doing in our city, okay? In our city of the region, really, of the Twin Cities metro area. And I want to anchor this in Matthew chapter 9 from verse 36 through 38, if you can follow along with me. In Matthew chapter 9, it says this: when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers, they are a few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." You know, just think about this. Jesus has been going around from city to city, sharing the gospel of Jesus, of the kingdom of God. He's saying, the kingdom of God is here. It has come near. And as he's walking from city to city, from village to village, he recognizes that the people are destitute. They are hungry. They are broken. They are feeling the lostness that they are encountering. They're depressed. They're anxious. Sounds like the 21st century in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And Jesus, in that moment, instead of condemning them, saying, "You know what? I don't care about you. You should know better." Instead of dismissing them, saying, "Hey, you, come in. Why don't you just repent and come and you'll find salvation?" You know, with an attitude. Or instead of saying, I'm Superman, I've come, you know, from heaven right here, and I can just lift you out just like that, abracadabra, you know. He doesn't even blame them. The Bible says that Jesus has compassion on them because they are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. When I think about the Twin Cities and the things that we've been through the last several years, we are like sheep without a shepherd. We are broken. We are harassed. We are without a compass often. the entire Twin Cities region. There is this hunger that is there. People that are hungry and desperate and destitute. Now, several years ago, I was praying and way before 2020, all right? Let me put it that way. Because God is God who sees ahead. And I was praying, it was in 2016, 2017. You know, I travel around the world, I preach the gospel, and by the grace of God and through the support and partnership of this church, we've taken the gospel to over 10 million people around the world face to face. Amen. 34 different nations. And millions more through radio and through TV in all these countries. But I was back at my house in Minneapolis, right here in the Twin Cities. At that time, I was in cover, living in cover. And I'm praying and asking the Lord, what is your next assignment? And in that moment, God began to stir my heart. He said, I'm looking at the Twin Cities, and I can see my people. I see brokenness. I see the nations. I see people from all over the world. Now I've been sending you to all these nations, but I also want you to focus on the nations here. My Scandinavian peoples, right? My Swedes and Germans and Irish, but also the Ethiopians and Eritreans and Indians and Pakistanis and Hmong and Latvians. And so God began to stir up my heart about this. And as I leaned into it through prayer, he said, how about we merge the people, the church, and unleash the church as a forceful power to share my good news with my people in the Twin Cities. And then 2020 happened. It was brokenness on steroids. Brokenness all over the place, wherever you look. And it didn't matter. I remember one night watching our governor, right? And he was expressing this sense of despair. He was saying, I don't know what to do. And the Holy Spirit was opening my eyes and saying, do you see my people? They are helpless. They're destitute. They need hope. And in that moment, we decided, let's go share the gospel in the city, in the streets. And for a while, we camped in South Minneapolis preaching the gospel. Some of you were there. As we were sharing the gospel of Jesus, for a moment, we baptized. I remember we baptized over 500 people at that junction in South Minneapolis. And the Holy Spirit was highlighting, saying, you see, my people, they're hungry, they're destitute. I have compassion on them. And God was highlighting this very fact. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask, he says, pray, ask the Lord of the harvest, ask that he may send forth workers into his field. And so I'm here today to extend this same invitation to you. I know that this is an invitation not just for me, it is for us. It is for us as his ambassadors, as his hands, as his feet for the gospel of the kingdom of God. This is a present invitation. It is not an invitation that was given 2,000 years ago and stayed there. Because each generation of people, each city, each place is in desperate, dire need of the good news of the kingdom of God. Amen. And God is inviting us today as Westwood. He's inviting us as the church in the Twin Cities to lean into the opportunity there is for the sake of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Amen. He's saying, have compassion. Have compassion on those in your circle of influence that don't know him. Those that you sit across from in your place of work, in your family, your neighbors. There may be people from a different background. They may speak even a different language, or they may have an accent like me today, right? And you're wondering, where is that accent from? But he's inviting us to open our eyes and to see and to be present to his mission, to understand the brokenness that surrounds our world all around us. And so we have this mission called Merge. Merge is an invitation from Jesus for us to go. In Luke chapter 10, verse 3, we find Jesus calling the disciples not just to pray, but also to go. He told them, go, I am sending you. Go, I am sending you. Heal the sick. Tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Go tell them. We sing about God shouting it on the mountaintops. And he's saying, go tell them, go shout it on the mountaintops. The kingdom of God has come near you. What Jesus, in essence, is saying is that the answer to the brokenness of society is not good politics. It is not good economics. It is not good social cohesion. All those things are important. But he's saying the answer is the kingdom of God has come near you. Because Jesus understands that the heart of man, as long as it is broken, as long as it is lost, it doesn't matter how rich, how wealthy, how organized, how educated, how poor, how destitute, whatever. If our heart is not fixed, we will be lost forever. And so, he says, go, preach, proclaim. The kingdom of God has come near you. The kingdom of God has come near you. And as a sign to confirm that it is me who has sent you, go heal the sick. That it is me who is sending you, go even raise the dead. And maybe we shall have a raise the dead challenge, right? Some of us need to be in that challenge. Raise the dead challenge. Who wants to be part of that? All right, I like that. And so Jesus says, go raise the dead. Go heal the sick. And then he says, go cast out devils. Now, if you're like my 10-year-old, you know, he was joking about this and saying, you know, I think I'll go cast out a demon for $5 each. He was ready to take on the challenge. So Jesus says, go and cast out the devils. Freely you have received, freely give the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. So he says, pray, but then he says, go. Don't just pray, but go. Hallelujah. And Jesus calls us, you know, to respond to this moment of the brokenness that we are living in by going. Merge USA, Merge Twin Cities is that go moment that is inviting us into as a congregation. Because we have the nations here. And God wants to release revival, awakening, salvation, the jet stream of life to flow from here to the rest of America. Amen. I often share this story. You know, about 18 months ago, I was in Erbil in northern Iraq, and I'm walking on the streets. And then suddenly, as we are in this old Asian space, there's a group of about 6 or 7 young men, and they saw me, and I kind of stood out a little bit, and so they invited me, all right? I stood out. No surprises. I stand out right here, right? So they invited me. They're like, oh, come, we want to take a picture with you. And I had a couple of my friends with me, some of us, our team members, and they said, oh, yeah, you go over. Go take the pictures. And they were trying to capture the pictures of me interacting with this group of young men. They were like, I think that's an invitation for you to go share the gospel. And so I went over and they were excited to take a picture with me and asked them, where do you come from? And they say, we come from Baghdad. And I say, oh, Baghdad. And of course, in my heart, I was going, Baghdad. Of course, we know the reputation of Baghdad, right? The war, the devastation, the brokenness. That is the image we have in our minds. And so I'm thinking, my goodness, guys from Baghdad, I get to share the gospel with them. And then they turn to me, they ask, where do you come from? And I said, I come from Minneapolis. And they were like, Minneapolis, oh, so terrible, terrible place. George Floyd. That was what their perception of Minneapolis. And I left that moment thinking, something has to change. Something has to change. I'm tired of this brokenness. I want to see something different. We want to see the good news of Jesus Christ go forth. In Ezekiel chapter 37, the prophet Ezekiel, he has this vision of God. And he tells us, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four corners, and breathe into this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. What a message of hope. Brokenness, death, devastation, the valley of dry bones. Sounds a little bit like the Twin Cities. I've had friends who've left the Twin Cities area because they go, we don't like it here anymore. We are leaving. We don't like it in this valley of dry bones. Early this week, I was speaking at an event at the Mall of America because we had the minister, the Secretary of Veteran Affairs. He was having an event, and I was invited to do a convocation. And while I was there, I realized that one of the other speakers was the lady behind the movie or the documentary, The Fall of Minneapolis. And so I was there with her, and I'm conversing with her about this documentary. Now, I haven't seen it, but of course, many people have. And she was going through some of the things, her research process, and how she ended up writing the book and doing the documentary. But then in that moment, I felt stirred up in my spirit. And I remembered, you know, a month ago, we were holding a pastor's summit for pastors from across the city. We had about 400 pastors there. And I had invited Pastor Joel to be one of our panelists. And as we were going through the questions and answers and interaction, he began to prophesy, all right? Joel won't tell you he's a prophet, right? But he began to prophesy, and he said, how about Minneapolis rising? How about the Twin Cities rising? And in that moment, there was this lift in the room as pastors were gravitating towards this prophetic word that was coming out of the mouth of Pastor Joel. And so here is a journalist who has documented the brokenness, the fallenness of the Twin Cities region. But here is a message of hope that God is giving, that God is speaking over the Twin Cities region, that we can rise again. Yes. But our rising is tied into the gospel of the kingdom of God. Our rising is tied into the word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so he says, my people, my church, prophesy. What is he saying? He's saying, speak life. Go forth. Proclaim my message of hope. And that is what Mudge USA, Mudge Twin Cities is about. We are here to proclaim the message of the kingdom of God, because we know that our hope is in what God says. Our hope is not in our economics. Our hope is not in our education. Our hope is not in our institutions. Our hope is not in our politics. Our hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so he's inviting us, saying, arise, arise, prophesy. Notice how many times it is repeated. With every obstacle, he says, prophesy. The bones don't have flesh, prophesy. Oh, now they have flesh, but they don't have breath. Prophesy to the wind and let it come over my people. Oh, and they can't move. Prophesy so that they can move and break forth. The Twin Cities rising. Yes. Heaven and earth are aligned over this region. Several months ago, I was praying and over the Twin Cities. It was last year, actually, August 14th. And I woke up at night, and I was praying, and you know, it was like 3 in the morning, right? I'm standing on my deck in Waconia, and I'm raising my hands towards the Twin Cities, and I'm on the edge of the city. So I'm raising my hands over the city, east, west, and north, and south, And when I stepped onto my deck doing that, and I noticed that the sky was absolutely clear that night. There was a big, nice, beautiful moon, looked like cheesecake, sitting in the sky. And then right over here, we had, and I could see this beautiful planet, big and bright. And, you know, I checked my app, and it was Saturn, right? And right next to it was Mars. They were kind of aligned. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. And I'm kind of marveling and worshiping God and just kind of delighting in this moment. And then as I was standing there, suddenly I saw a star shooting, you know, from west to east. And I thought, wow, beautiful. You know, God, you're giving me a show here. And then a second star showed again, west to east, and then a third, and a fourth, and a fifth. Now I'm getting really fascinated, you know, by what is going on. And in that moment, I say, God, are you trying to say something to me or what? You know, I know I'm having a good time with you. I'm worshiping. I'm, you know, just having a good time. I'm declaring your goodness over the city. But then I kind of lightly say, you know, God, I think I want to see 7 stars if you're saying something. And so about 5 minutes later, I saw another shooting star. And I said, okay, all right, one more. And about 10 minutes later, I see a 7-star go by. And I was like, okay, God, I take you seriously now. What are you saying? And in that moment, I was realizing, you know, God was saying something. And the Bible says God uses the creation to speak their signs to us sometimes. You know, of course, we have the Word of God, which is God's instruction to us, the constitution of heaven right here. But God also uses the creation he has given us, and he wants us to learn from them and to see that he's communicating his word. And in that moment, I realized that God was saying something. Heaven and earth are aligned over this city. It is time for harvest. Yes. And so, whether we are, when we see difficulties and challenges and the brokenness around us, our natural response is to say, I'm going to Nashville instead, you know? Or I'm gonna go to Texas, you know? My politics probably will align better over there. Or I'm going to California, you know? My politics will align better. There's probably better opportunities there than there is in the Twin Cities. But you know what Jesus says? He says, when you see the brokenness, when you see the indifference, when you see the despair, the destitution, it means it is harvest time. It is harvest time. So he says, pray the Lord of the harvest. And then he says, go. I am sending you to go prophesy. And so we have a mission in the Twin Cities, Marge, USA. We are in the middle of 40 days of prayer. We started on the 25th of April, and we are inviting believers from all across the Twin Cities region. Even this morning, we have 5 different churches that are talking about Merge, right? What God is doing. And so we are inviting believers to pray. Some of you have been with us from the beginning. Several of you here in this audience, you've been praying every day since April 25th for the Twin Cities region. And we have daily promptings and points to pray about. I want to invite you to consider being a part of that. It is fasting, and we are inviting you to pray and fast as well. Not just, you know, skip a meal, skip 2. Or if you want to skip a meal every day for the remainder of the days, today we are on day 24. You know, do that, pray, and you will see the outcomes of what God will do. And so let us pray over the city. Let us pray over our neighborhoods. Let us pray for our families and friends and our coworkers. And then we are also inviting you to be a part of an outreach moment. You see, from June 2nd through June 6th, we have 6 hubs that we have set up across the Twin Cities region. And believers are invited to come there every day from 2 to 5. We'll be sending teams out. And if you want to know more, you know, scan the QR code. And we also have a table out in the lobby. We have our team out there. They would love to register you if you want to be part of these outreach moments, to be going out and sharing the gospel. We have training that we'll be offering, a couple Saturdays from now. So you can sign up to be a part of these moments. And then on June 7th, at the heart of the Twin Cities and the heart of Minnesota, on the state capitol grounds, we're gonna have a massive celebration. We'll have food trucks, cultural celebration tents, you know, celebrating different nations. We'll have games, we'll have speakers, we'll have great worship leaders, many of their songs you are familiar with, you know, Naomi Rain, Josiah Quinn, Halvey, Evelyn. We have, then, you know, you have a couple of evangelists sharing the gospel. Amen? I get to have my Billy Graham moment just for, you know, for fun. It's awesome. But we want to invite you to be a part of this special time. Invite your friends, invite your family, invite your coworkers into this special moment with God in our city. Twin Cities Rising. God invites us to pray. He invites us to go. He invites us to share the gospel of the kingdom of God. As I conclude, I was reading earlier this morning, actually, from Isaiah chapter 6, and I was fascinated by Isaiah. You know, he comes to this moment where he is having his Ezekiel moment, all right? And he's in the temple. He's sitting in a church pew like many of us are sitting here today. And as he's sitting there, he has an encounter with God. He has an encounter with God. He realizes the gravity of this being in relationship with this God. That this God is not just like any other God of the nations, but he's rather holy. He is separated. And he is many, many, many times over what he had ever imagined or thought. That he's not just a moral guide, he is God in the fullness of his majesty and power and glory. And he goes face down in that moment on his face. And he goes, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. Have mercy on me, O God. He recognizes his brokenness, his deficit, his emptiness as a man. Now, God meets him in that moment. Just like I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to many of us here today. And you can sense it in your heart. And you can see your brokenness. Some of you came here feeling destitute. You're carrying loads, depression, anxiety, fear, shame in your life, or even pride, arrogance. The things that when you look at them and examine them carefully, you are ashamed of them and you go, woe is me. And in that moment, the Bible tells us that God touched him. He sent an angel with tongues of fire and touched his lips and seared his lips, you know, and separated him from the past which he was. And in that moment, he was free for once. He no longer was carrying the weight, the burden, the brokenness in his life. And this morning, God is inviting many of us here. We are sitting nicely in a pew, but we know we are broken, we are lost, we are disconnected with heaven. And when we talk about the mission of heaven, we can't even understand it. You know, maybe there's a protest inside of you going, why should I even share with somebody else about the kingdom of God? Don't they have their own religion? You know, that is sin speaking. That is lostness speaking inside of you. And today you need to encounter the power and the grace of God, because then you will see that the God who has come to reveal himself to us desires that all may know him and may experience salvation. So Isaiah has a moment with God. He receives salvation. But God doesn't leave him there. God is not only the God of encounter and God of transformation, but he's God of mission. And so God invites Isaiah up into the heavenlies, right? We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. God invites Isaiah into this company of the heavenlies. And Isaiah can hear God for the first time and understand the heart of God. And you know what the heart of God is? God says, my people are broken. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They are destitute. Who shall I send and who will go for us? So in that moment, his sin taken away, his guilt and shame removed, Isaiah raises his hand. He says, God, here I am. Send me. Send me into the city. Send me among your people. Send me. Let me go. I will be your mouthpiece. So here's your challenge. Here's your Isaiah challenge. You are seated here. You don't have a saving relationship with Jesus. We got to start there. All right? It has to start there. Jesus laid it down for you. He gave it all. That you may know him and you may be saved. So I'm going to give you a moment to respond. But then the second, God wants to lift you up and elevate you so that you can see through his eyes. So I want to invite us to stand right now, all over this place. If you feel like Isaiah did, you know, and I'm just going to invite us to close our eyes for right now and just for a moment reflect. You know your own brokenness. You know your shame. Jesus wants to lift that off of you. Some of you are carrying heavy burdens and loads, and you know, you're so self-focused, and he wants to free you from all of that. He wants to give you salvation. If you're saying, you know, I've never really made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and today you're saying, I want to experience the freedom, the salvation, could you just raise your hand right now so I can see it, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. So many hands in here. Just keep it up straight. Keep it raised. Now pray this with me. Say, Jesus. And we can all join them to pray together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I recognize my brokenness. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Wash me. Make me your child, a new creation in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as we are still standing, you know, as we can hear the invitation of God and of the Holy Spirit to us, saying, lean into the city and be present to my mission in the city. I would love to see all of us at Westwood engaged with sharing the gospel with the city. But you know, Jesus, he doesn't force it on us. You know, he doesn't force it on us. He you know, even God, as he's sitting with Isaiah, he doesn't force it on him. He asks the question, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? He's waiting for you to raise your hand and say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Make me the fisher of men. Now, maybe you have doubts, wondering, how can I even share with somebody about Jesus? You know, don't worry about it. He says, I'll give you words. You know, if you volunteer and say, here I am. And we're going to ask many of you to volunteer, you know. And we have an information meeting after this in room 205, you know. Come over there. We'll direct you on what is going to happen next, how you can get training. But right now, he's saying, will you say, here I am, Lord? Will you say, here I am, help me to pray, help me to go, help me to share? And if that is you, just raise your hand right now. Like Isaiah, say, I volunteer, Lord. I want to be used of you. Just keep it up. Raise it up. Heavenly Father, you see those of us in this room saying, here I am, Lord, send me. We may be scared, afraid, not knowing what this entails, but we are willing to trust you and to lean into the city, to lean into our communities of Chanhassen, Chaska, and all around the Twin Cities region to be present to you. So let your Holy Spirit activate us today and work inside of our hearts to make us witnesses to you in Christ Jesus. And I pray breakthrough, freedom, salvation, hope to all of us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.